already on the phone right now is author Hazel Pryor, calling all the way from the UK. Her debut book, Ellie and the Harpmaker, comes out on Tuesday, August 6th from the Fine Folds at Berkeley Penguin Random House. And she's on the phone right now. Hey, Hazel, how are you?
Hello, I'm really well, thank you. Life's good on Exmoor today.
Ah, thank you for calling in. I understand this is your first interview?
It certainly is, yes. I'm very excited. I'm just on the edge of my chair, but trying to relax.
Well, I promise I'll be good to you, and I'm glad that the people at the book company felt me worthy enough to break you in on your first interview.
Well, it is a great honor for me to be speaking to somebody in Texas already, and so lovely that my story has already kind of reached people across the other side of the world.
Yeah, I get a lot of books early, and I just read them in my stack as I go through them, and sometimes I get through them fast, and I don't get more books for like days, so I'll read the ones that, you know, aren't coming out for a while. Like, I already got a book that's not coming out. It's a Christmas story.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, so, but you know.
So you get the first look in.
Yeah, so I got to your book. I just love this book. This book is so good.
Oh, how lovely. Thank you so much. That makes me very, very happy that you said that.
You're welcome. And it might have one of the best characters all year in a book. And I read a lot of books. And Dan Hollis, this character, I just love this character in the book.
I'm really, really glad about that because I rather like him myself too. And it's just so nice that he's striking a chord with readers already. He's rather eccentric, but rather lovable, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. And he's almost, you're familiar with the movie Rain Man, right?
I am, yes.
I wouldn't say he's as far as the Dustin Hoffman character, but he is out there a bit in his thinking and the way he lives in the book.
He is, yes, and some people have also compared him to Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And I think he is a little bit, I mean, some people would say he's on the spectrum, or some people would use the word autistic. I try not to use that word because I just really don't want to pigeonhole him at all. So I prefer to use words like eccentric or quirky, because it's really not an issue the way he thinks. It's just a kind of slightly interesting part of the novel, I think, that he's a little bit not conforming to the ways that people normally think and speak.
Yeah, and since we're talking about him, let's talk about the book a little. Dan, he lives a happy, solitary life. He loves to carve exquisite Celtic harps in his barn in the countryside of the English moors. Here he can be himself, away from social situations, doesn't always get right or completely understand. He's got, not really has a lot of friends. The mailman's his friend. He loves the mailman. And he's got a sister who looks out for him because Dan, if he had it his way, he'd make these harps and give them away for free. Like, he has no qualms about what he does. He's very socially inept, but he's a really nice guy, and he loves sandwiches.
You've summed him up really, really well. Yes, that's exactly it. He's just really passionate about certain things. One of those things is making harps. He doesn't play them, but he just loves making them. He loves everything about harps. And he loves wood, and he loves nature, he loves trees, and he's quite obsessive about making sandwiches, as you say, and about counting things. He loves counting everything.
And he loves animals, and the other great part of this book that I loved was the pheasant named Phineas, his pet pheasant that he rescued.
Yes, it's interesting. Phineas, he comes in sort of quite a bit when you're through the story, because I live on Exmoor and there's just pheasants everywhere, I thought this is a story that's very kind of centred in the place, and I have to bring in pheasants somewhere. And Phineas just sort of appeared in the story, and people have warmed to him a lot, and he does actually end up playing quite a crucial role there in the drama as well.
On the anniversary of her beloved father's death, Ellie Jacobs takes a walk in the woods and comes across Dan's barn. She's enchanted by his collection. Dan gives her a harp. So this is how nice Dan is. He just gives her a harp because she said that she's always wanted to play it, made of cherry wood to match her cherry socks. Her husband, though, is not happy about the fact that some guy just gave her a harp. So he makes her take it back, and she says that he says they'll keep it, you know, where he is, and she can come play at any time. And he even sets her up to get lessons with the girl that he says is his girlfriend, which, you know, is she or isn't she? We'll find out that later in the book. Ellie begins visiting Dan almost daily, and they quickly become, you know, friends. But and he makes her sandwiches. But her husband finds out about this and is not happy. He's got a bit of a temper. He's not all that nice of a guy. Not to spoil too much more, but things happen and puts Dan and Al in situations that they shouldn't be in. And hopefully everything will work out for them. Is that good?
Well, let's hope, yes. I mean, Ellie always is, she's the kind of character that wants to believe there is good in everybody. Yeah. And she, but she's a bit under her husband's thumb, to be honest. She's sort of, he's never really let her be her true self. And she kind of always believes the best in him. And yet, she's not quite happy under the surface. She could do a lot more, be a lot more fulfilled. And but she is a bit of a dreamer. And she tries to follow one of her dreams. And when we try to follow dreams, sometimes it leads us into strange places. And it sets off a bit of a chain reaction. And that's exactly what happens in this story. So, yeah, the following of dreams.
By the end of the story, I'm not going to give any spoilers. Yeah, by the end of the story, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but they both find themselves in places that they weren't before, and they're better for it. How's that sound?
Absolutely, I think so. I think it's a hopeful ending. I think we can say that, yeah. Can't we?
And I'm looking at your website at hazeltheharpist.co.uk. And I like how things are broken down. This heartwarming, funny, quirky story features 86 plums, 69 sandwiches, 27 birch trees, a 17-step staircase, a pair of cherry-colored socks, and a pheasant named Phineas. So it breaks it right down on your website about the book.
That's right, yes. It's actually a harpist website because I set it up years ago when I was trying to make some money out of harp playing, but I've ended up being a writer now, so it's kind of got this writing page stuck in the middle of it. I might end up having my own writing website as well at some point, but at the moment it's largely the harp playing that's on there. But yes, I've got this page that describes the book, which is going to be out in the UK very shortly, and in the US in August. So, yeah.
And I have
all go. And I've just finished writing my second book as well. Just sent it off to the editors.
Oh, good. Can you tease what that's going to be about?
I will say one word just to whet your appetite.
Okay.
The word is penguins.
Okay. You got my appetite whetted. I like the book covers, too. They're very similar. Usually when books open in different places, they make completely different covers. But for the most part, the covers are pretty similar, the U.S. and the U.K. release.
That's right, yes. In fact, the US did have a completely different cover to start with, and then I think it had some different feedback, and they decided to go with something that was a little bit more similar to the UK one, with Phineas the Pheasant perched on top of the lettering, which I think is very quirky and nice and sort of fits in with the book very well.
Some early reviews of the book. Kristen Higgins, New York Times bestselling author of Good Luck With That, says, "How I love this book, an uncommonly lovely story told with elegance, insight, and so much heart. Hazel Pry's brilliant debut will delight." Julia Blackwell, who wrote The Lost Carousel of Providence, which is a great book. If you get a chance to read that, you should. It's an awesome book. Ellie and the Harp Maker is a lyrical, almost fairy tale-like novel, as resilient and mysterious as a Celtic harp. And Emily Liebert, best-selling author, says, "A melodious and heartwarming debut about love, friendship, and a secret that could change everything. This one is special." So look at these authors loving your book.
I know. This is just so amazing. And when my lovely publisher sent me in these quotations, I literally could not believe my eyes. I'm still pinching myself, to be honest, to have authors like that, you know, with such great standing and such brilliant, brilliant, talented authors saying things about my book is just overwhelming, really. It's amazing. I'm so grateful to them all.
Now, you play the harp.
Let alone say lovely things about it. It's amazing.
You play the harp. Do you play? I know there's big ones and there's small ones. Are they just as equally easy to play or once you learn them?
I'd say they're probably, well, the big ones and the small ones. The big ones are sort of normally are the classical ones that you see playing in orchestras, and they are a slightly different style to the ones in my story and the ones that I play, which are Celtic ones. So the big ones have pedals to change key, and the little ones have a little line of levers along the top, which you need to twiddle manually to change key, which is quite difficult to do whilst you're actually using all your fingers already to play the harp. So, the technique is just different, I would say. I wouldn't say one was easier or more difficult than the other. They're just a little bit different, slightly different feel.
The harp is
Celtic
so...
Celtic ones are easier to carry.
The
Sorry.
Harp is
the
such...
Celtic ones are easier to carry, of course, because they're a little bit lighter, and they fit in your car more easily, so they have that advantage.
The harp is such a beautiful instrument, and it just sounds so beautiful. What made you get interested in the harp?
Well, I think I've always been drawn to, in fact, it probably came from my love of Scotland and Celtic things. I went to university in Scotland. I've always loved that sort of Celtic sound, Celtic music. And the harp sort of really sprung from that, because when I was at university, I became secretary of a music society, the Early Music Society at St Andrews, which is where I went. And they had an old harp, a small Celtic harp, locked up in a locker in an old cupboard, and it hadn't been played for years and years and years, and it had bits missing and stuff, but it belonged to this university society, so I sort of adopted it one summer and had it mended, and I thought, this instrument is absolutely gorgeous, the sound of it, and nobody's playing it, so I thought, well, you know, how about you, dear? You know, I hadn't played any instrument before, but I thought, well, it's time to, you know, get my skates on and try and learn it. So it's kind of started there. And, I just love harps. I just love them. I think I've always romanticized a bit about them, too, because they just look so beautiful.
They do.
The whole idea of playing the harp is just very appealing to me, apart from the sound of it.
Again, people can follow you at hazeltheharpist.co.uk, at Twitter at haveaharp. The book comes out in the United States, Ellie and the Harp Maker, and stores Tuesday, August 6th. And have they said anything about coming to the U.S. in August?
Nobody's mentioned that yet, but it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Still a ways away. I would have my passport ready just in case.
All right. Okay. Fabulous. It's a lovely idea, isn't it? I have been to the U.S. once before. But it was many, many years ago, over 20 years ago. I went with a group of 80 Italians, so it was a bit strange. I went with an Italian choir.
Well, Hazel, I appreciate the time today. Good luck with everything. The book, Ellie and the Harp Maker, is great. Look forward to your second book about penguins when that comes out, probably next year?
Yep, that'll be right, yes.
Well, hopefully we can
chat.
Hopefully we can chat again. Good luck with everything. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I'm so glad we got your first interview out of the way.
Oh, thank you so much for everything. It's been a pleasure.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye then. Thank you.